chances are you think about this next gift quite a bit. You may even worry that it will one day disappear. This next session will cause you to think about this gift in a totally different and far more confident, empowered way. You'll be amazed to learn just how much control you have over a gift that you may now think is entirely beyond your control. And you will certainly be surprised to discover all the different and dynamic ways this particular gift can impact your experiences and results, and those of the people around you.
How many times have you said, "I forget"? Or how many times have you heard somebody say, "I forgot that"? The truth is they didn't forget it. They never remembered it in the first place. The average individual is raised with the idea that they've got a poor memory. Do you know there's no such thing as a poor memory? Everyone has a perfect memory. And there's no such thing as a photographic memory. Not the way we look at it anyway. See, we grow up with the idea that some people have good memories, some people don't. Some have photographic memories, some don't. Everyone has a perfect memory. I'll often, in a seminar, take a flip chart, and I'll write maybe 100 numbers on it, just one after the other. And then I'll turn around and I'll repeat the numbers in the order that I've written them on the flip chart. And then, audience is sitting there rather stunned, I said, "I could teach anybody how to do that in about 1 minute." And I say, "Who would like to learn it?" So hands go up, and I pick somebody, and I'll pull them up to the front of the room, and I'll say, "Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of about 6 people. I want you to put them in specific order. Could be your mother, your brother, your next-door neighbor, but people in order that are very close to you. Now, I want you to think of their phone numbers. And then I want you to write their phone number down just as numbers. Don't write it down in sequence with dots and dashes and all that. It's just one number after another, one number after another, until you've run through their phone numbers. The person comes up and they write all these numbers down. They turn around and they repeat them to the audience exactly the way they're written, with their back to the numbers. And the audience is shocked. And then I tell them, say, "You're fascinated. You know why you're fascinated? You're watching somebody do something well that you don't know how to do. That's the only thing that'll ever fascinate anyone. If I watch figure skaters, I'm talking about the pros, I become fascinated because I don't know what they're doing. If you watch a professional at anything, it's fascinating. Well, when you watch the person do this, you become fascinated, even more so than when I did it just one turn before them. Because they sort of expect me to do things like that on the platform, but this is somebody right out of the audience." And I took all of about a minute or two, and I explained what to do. They turned around on a clean sheet, and they did the same thing. And then I told them what they did. And I said, "You all remember all kinds of phone numbers." I remember talking to Harry Lorraine one time. I was working with Harry. He's probably got the best trained memory in the world. I said, "Harry, how long do you remember something?" Harry said, "Until I want to forget it." And I thought, what an interesting answer. Now, how would you like to remember 100 things? 100, in any order you want to call them out. Well, I'm going to teach you to do that right now. I want you to get a pen and a piece of paper. Now, I want you to write one number under another. Go right down from 1 down to 10. 1, 2, 3, down to 10. All right? Beside number 1, I want you to write the word run. Run. Beside number 2, I want you to write the word zoo. And as you write zoo down, I want you to see an image of a monkey's cage. I want you and I to be walking through a zoo, and you say, "Look, Bob, over here." And you point to a monkey's cage. So every time you say zoo, that's what you see. Number 3, write down tree. Pick a specific tree. Could be one on your yard or one on a relative's yard, but a specific tree. Number 4 is door. Now, this is your own front door. Number 5 is hive. I want you to visualize a beehive, a great big beehive sitting there in front of you. Number 6 is sticks. As you write sticks down, I want you to visualize yourself holding a pair of chopsticks. Number 7 is heaven. Get the child's conception of heaven: blue sky, white clouds. Number 8 is gate. As you write gate down, I want you to visualize a white picket gate swinging in the breeze. Gate. Number 9 is wine. Wine. Hold a bottle of red wine. Take the cap off it. Don't drink it, but just hold it. And you write wine beside number 9. Number 10 is den. I want you to visualize a den in a home. There is a door on this den. If you haven't got one, visualize one. Build a picture of a den. All right. Here's what we want to remember. Memory is developed through association. Not just association, but ridiculous association. Sometimes people have difficulty with this because they're raised to not be silly. I'm going to give you special dispensation. You can become silly. Ridiculous association. The mind is a powerful force, but it cannot be forced. Force negates. So the key word in remembering is let. Write let on a piece of paper in big letters. L-E-T. Let. Now you're going to let yourself remember. All right? Now beside number 1, you had run. I want you to put your hand on your chest, and I want you to feel the vibration as you repeat these. Go one, run. Come on, now repeat them after me. One, run, two, zoo, three, tree, four, door, five, hive, six, stick, seven, heaven, eight, gate, nine, wine, ten, den. Come on, let's do it again a little faster. One, run, two, zoo, three, tree, four, door, five, hive, six, seven, heaven, eight, gate, nine, wine, ten, den. Now, do you feel the vibration in your chest? You see, the spoken word sets up a vibration. Your body changes its vibration when you speak. Make sure you're putting your body into a positive vibration when you're speaking. Let's do it again. One, run, two, zoo, three, tree, four, door, five, five, six, six, seven, seven, eight, eight, nine, wine, ten, den. I often teach this in a seminar. I tell the people when you go home and your spouse or your kids or somebody asks you, what'd you learn? Just go one, run, two, zoo, three, three, and they'll think you've fallen out of a tree. Now, beside number 1, I want you to write the word pen, pen, pen. Beside number 2, write the word book, book, beside number 2. Beside number 3, write watch, a stopwatch, beside number 3. Beside number 4, write the word calculator, calculator, all right? Calculator. Okay, now make sure you had it right. Beside number 1, you write pen. The pen is number 1. Number 2 is the book. Number 3 is the watch. The watch. Number 4 is the calculator. Number 5 is microphone. Microphone. Number 5 is microphone. Number 6 is sticks. And beside sticks, write styrofoam cup. Styrofoam cup. Beside number 6. 7 is heaven. Put nuts. Nuts. Cashews. Make cashew nuts. We'll be specific. Beside number 7. Beside gate, write bottle of water. Bottle of water beside gate. Beside 9, where you have wine. Put documents, documents. And beside number 10, put paper clips. Now, close your eyes and visualize this. Number 1 is run. I want you to see a pen running around the room. See it running all around the room. Number 2 is book. I want you to visualize you and I walking through the zoo, and you say, oh, look, Bob, over there is a book. It's my book. Can you see my book? It's in the monkey's cage. It's a big book. The monkey's holding it, a great big book. Number 3 is tree. We see watches, gold pocket watches, stopwatches hanging on the tree. There's no leaves. This tree grows watches. Number 4 is door. All right? Door. Visualize a calculator crashing right through your front door. Visualize yourself standing just inside your front door and a calculator crashed right through it, just missed you. Number 5 is hive. I want you to visualize people coming along and sticking microphones into that beehive that's in front of you. And you look and you see a beehive full of microphones. All right? 6 is sticks. I want you to visualize yourself eating a styrofoam cup with chopsticks. Seven is heaven. I want you to visualize cashew nuts as angels. They've got wings on them, and they're flying past the white cloud. Can you see the cashew nuts flying past the white cloud? I know you find it hard to believe you're doing this, but do it anyway. All right? Cashews in heaven. Number eight is gate. You see this gate swinging, and on top of each picket is a bottle of water, and they're not falling off it. And you think, how do those bottles of water stay on there? That's amazing. Number nine is wine. I want you to visualize yourself with all kinds of legal documents, and you're pouring red wine all over the legal documents. You can put them on a lawyer's desk. That'll drive the lawyer out of her mind. Number 10 is den. Den. You open the door to the den, and there's paper clips. There's 1,000 of them, and they're flying at you. You close the door so they don't hit you. Now, let's go through this. Don't look at what you've gotten written down. One is run. What's running? You see the pen running. Two is zoo. What's in the monkey's cage? The book. Three is tree. What's growing on the tree? The watch. Four is door. What's crashing through the door? The calculator. Five is hive. What's growing out of the hive? The microphone. Six is sticks. What are you eating with the sticks? The styrofoam cup. Seven is heaven. What's flying through heaven? Those cashew angels. Eight is gate. What's on the gate? A bottle of water. All kinds of bottles. Nine is wine. Where'd you pour the wine? On the documents. 10 is den. What's in the den? Paper clips. Now, you just practice that a little bit, and you could knock off 10 things standing on your head. I said 100. How do you get to 100? Well, if you wrote a list out from 1 out to 10, you could remember it. So you hook all the 1s up. 1, 11, 21, 31, 41. Hook all the 2s up. 2, 12, 22, 32. Now, let's say number 1 is running. What's running? The pen. And what's tied to it? A dollar bill. There's a dollar bill, and it's blowing in the breeze. The pen's running, and a dollar bill's tied to it. Number 2 is zoo. What's in the monkey's cage? A book. And you know what's piled on top of the book? Your favorite coffee mug. Can you see that? Now, you just keep adding these things. If you can remember 11 things, you can remember 100 things. It's understanding the process. Now, if you play with this a little bit, you're going to find it'll work. I have a son, Raymond, who's growing up now. But when he was just a little kid, I taught this to him. He went to school, and he had them write 100 things on the board, and he memorized it. He told them all what it was, but he wouldn't tell them how to do it. He had kids phone them, Raymond, how do you do it? He says, you just do it. That's all. Now, I remember very clearly learning this. Grant Sylvester and his wife and myself and my wife were out having dinner. And over dinner, Grant taught this to me. I couldn't stop laughing. It was so simple, I was amazed at just how well I did just there over dinner, no effort. You really do have a perfect memory. Can you remember names? Absolutely. Ridiculous association. There's a great book called The Memory Book. It's an old book, but it's a good one. The Memory Book by Harry Lorraine and Jerry Lucas. Jerry Lucas was the pro basketball player. Jerry Lucas was teaching people how to memorize the Bible at one time. Say, you can memorize the Bible? You can do anything. Your memory is perfect. You see, you're perfect. There's perfection in every molecule of your being. Now, the trick is to bring that perfection to the surface. How do we do that? We do it by learning. We do it through study. We do it by developing a greater understanding. You see, when you hear people say, I have a bad memory, they're advertising their ignorance. They don't really know they've got a perfect memory. But they never learned it in school. They never learned it at home. And most people go to the grave with the music still in them. You've got a perfect memory. You have perfect intuition. You have a perfect will. You have perfect imagination. Do you know something? You're perfect. And what you want to do is develop a conscious awareness of your own perfection. Now, every time you become more aware of your own perfection, do you know where it manifests? In your results. Your results just keep getting better and better and better. In working with Mary Morrissey, she sprung a new one on me. She said, you know what people want to do is develop future memory. I said, what is future memory? You see, I'm still learning too, friend. Mary, tell us about it.
Thank you, Bob. I just sat and did the exercise that you just had us do, and that is amazing. I've never done it in a string like that. I'm going to practice this. I had a couple of women who would come to my seminars, and they were sisters, and one's name was Hope, and the other's name was Chloe. And the second time they came, I realized that I didn't know who was who. I stumbled over their names, and it was embarrassing because they had come now a second time to one of my seminars. And I thought, I got to learn their names. And so without even knowing this process, one of them had completely white hair, and her name was Chloe. So in my mind, I just went Snowy Chloe. So thank you for that. Well, one of the things I've explored over the years, the idea first came to me when I was reading Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll, which is a great allegory about how the mind works. Down through the looking glass, Alice goes, and she meets the queen, and the queen says to her, "Tell me what you did tomorrow." And Alice laughs and says, "Well, I can't tell you what I did tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet." And the queen rather pityingly looks at Alice and says, "Well, I just dare say it's a pretty poor memory that only works in one direction." And I love that. And so I began to explore that idea that if our memory really could work in both directions, meaning that we could send our memory, which is, of course, a recall, into the future, then what would that be like? And as a person who has focused over the last 30-plus years in helping people build their dreams, take ideas and bring them into form through an understanding and a growing, developed understanding and practice of applying the laws of the universe to the construct of their own personal lives, I realized that we know more than we allow ourselves to know. We have an intelligence system that's at work in us, and we're unpacking that together now as we all take a look at, study, and explore these gifts that are given to us by our nature. One of those is our memory, that we actually can download not only what it feels like and is like to step inside the dream we're having, so that we actually become the person who is living that life for a moment in time. We step, in other words, it's like a game called Back to the Future. So I would like you to imaginally play this game with me now, and I would like you to bring to mind your dream. You wrote it down during the session we did on imagination. And bring to mind now your life as you're imagining it. And you see yourself in your current day reality imagining forward into your future. But now for a moment, play something different. Stand up wherever you are if you can. And take 5 steps counterclockwise. Now, before you do this, when you take 5 steps counterclockwise, when you get to the 5th step, Bob and I are going to be standing there. And you're going to say to us, "Oh my gosh, Bob and Mary, I haven't seen you since that seminar by CD that I listened to with you guys 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago." You can make it whenever it is. Let's say it's 3 years ago. So you're going to put yourself 3 years in the future. Only 3 years from now, everything that you dreamed is happening. Everything you imagined is your current life. Everything that you wanted so much 3 years ago, now it's already done. So let's go 5 steps counterclockwise. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you say, "Oh my gosh, Bob and Mary, I haven't seen you since we shared that seminar with you." And then you begin to tell us exactly what your life is. And you say, "Oh, my life. I am so happy and grateful." And then you begin to describe your life. And I'm going to invite you to write that down from the state of future memory that it is already happening. And you write it down in detail. You say, "Everything I was dreaming about has happened." And we say to you, "Well, tell us about it. My life, my health, my home, my kids, where I work, what I do." And you describe it as if it's already happening. And what will happen is in your future self, yourself will inform you of information that your current self needs. Your future self will give you some helpful ideas that your current self can use because it's already done in the mind of the infinite. You're just tapping into the wavelength of the already doneness. When you plant an idea in mind, when you tap into that, the universe has already got it accomplished. We're now downloading that into our current reality. So as you turn counterclockwise 5 steps, you step into the future self, you put it on, you live it, you experience it, and then Bob and Mary ask you a question. And we ask you this question: what do you know now that you wish you had known back then that would have made it way easier for you to get where you have now gotten? And you put yourself in that future state, ask that question, and you will be amazed at the information you get. You'll hear things like, "It was way easier than I thought it was going to be, that everything showed up at the moment I needed it, that it happened so much faster than I thought it was going to." Whatever you tap into, but you'll be given some support, some ideas, and when you get that, treat it like gold. That future self has information for you to use right now. It collapses time. It opens doors. It makes things easier. It literally is gold from another realm, and it makes it yours today.
You know, Mary, I remember one time I walked into a restaurant in Toronto, and this man came over and he said, "Mr. Proctor, how are you?" And I said, "I'm fine." I looked at him. I didn't know who he was. He said, "I haven't seen you for a good 5 years." He said, "You came and spoke at Hobie." Now, Hobie was Hugh O'Brien Youth. Hugh O'Brien was Wyatt Earp on television. He had the number one show on television. And when he was right at his peak, he went to Labreen in Africa to see Albert Schweitzer. He was fascinated by Schweitzer's work. And when he was leaving, Schweitzer looked at him and he said, "Go create your own Labreen." In other words, go do what I'm doing. And so he got thinking about it on his way back and he thought, what could he do? And he thought, I want to do something with kids. And he said, you know, there's all kinds of people doing things for bad kids. I'm going to do something for good kids. So he took one student out of each school who was a sophomore that showed greatest leadership. They didn't have to be the top academically, but they had to show leadership. And then they were brought together, there would be a few hundred of them, into a weekend seminar. And at that weekend seminar, they would bring in different leaders. I came in from my field. They would bring a lawyer in from a major legal organization. And then they might bring another lawyer who was an entrepreneurial lawyer. They'd bring accountants. They'd bring in a president of a manufacturing company, all kinds of different people from different fields. The year I was there, one of the inventors, there was two people that invented the game Trivial Pursuit. One of them was there. And one of the things, they would only work with them for 5 or 10 minutes, and then you'd answer questions. And the kids could ask you any question they wanted. And this is how they learned. Well, I taught them memory. This young guy, he got a hold of Harry Lorraine's book, and he kept studying it. And as he said, I mastered it. And he said, when I was in university, I got a job at a bank. And he said, I remembered everybody's name and their bank account number. And when they come in, I would say, "Oh, hello, Mr. Proctor. It's H2656395. And he said, the people were blown away. Everybody in the bank called him the human calculator. But he said, it was a simple thing to do. And he said, it really impacted my life in a number of different areas. Well, it would have, of course, because when you master something, your confidence goes way up. This is a great opportunity for you to stand out in your particular field. Memory is something that's invaluable. Remembering people's names is just really a beautiful thing. And you remember names through ridiculous association. Now, if you get Harry Lorraine and Jerry Lucas's book, you're going to find out there'd be a section for numbers, another thing for names, another for places. Decide what you want to learn. If you want to learn names, just read the preamble to it and understand the basic of developing memory, and then take just the section on names, and you might photocopy that section and carry it around with you and practice it. You don't even have to practice it for very long, and you'll become very good at it. And you know something? When you've got a good memory, you're going to like yourself. I've got a great memory. I remember quotes from authors. I remember books. I remember where to find them. Why? Because that's what I love. So that's what I really study. And I've got a zillion quotes in my head. I've got the name of many, many good books, all kinds of beautiful information, because I know I've got a perfect memory. Do you want to know something? So do you. Get the book, Harry Lorraine and Jerry Lucas. It's an old book. I think this is one of the best. The Memory Book. That's the name of it. Try and remember that. By Harry Lorraine and Jerry Lucas. And when you get the book, then you're going to have to act on it. So this might have to do with your future memory. You see yourself with a great memory. That's something you see. That'll motivate you to read the book after you get it. And develop a routine and become persistent with that routine. You know, Napoleon Hill said, there may be no heroic connotation of the word persistence, but he said the quality is to the character of the human like what carbon is to steel. I have formed the habit of studying. And what I want you to do is start and develop the habit of studying by working on your memory. You're studying this program. You're developing mental muscles. You're developing the higher side of your personality. Now I want to suggest you lock into a pattern of developing your memory in one of these areas. I have a pattern that I follow. When I get out of bed in the morning, I go into my office and I just at random take a book off the shelf. Now, if you were to come into my office at any particular time of day or the week or the month, you'll probably find two or three books laying on my desk. I read one of them and then I'll pick it up. The next day I may read another one. Sometimes I put them back on the shelf. Sometimes I leave them on the desk. I've got one sitting right in front of me. I brought it with me and I put it out here in front of me. It's The Master Key to Riches by Napoleon Hill. Now, this is a particular special copy. This is one that was autographed by Napoleon Hill. Well, you see, I study these things, but that's a habit. I want you to make up your mind that you're going to take this one mental gift that you've been given. It's one of the most beautiful tools that you've got. People will remember that you do have a memory, believe me, because most people don't. Make up your mind that you're going to have a routine just like I have a routine, and you may lock into it first thing in the morning. I am going to take and read this paragraph, and I'm going to study it, and I'm going to do it at a particular time every morning. Now, I get up early. I get up 5:30. I'm always in my office. You might do a similar thing, and you're going to find as you develop your memory, you're going to develop a desire to work on all these higher faculties that Mary and I are sharing with you. I have been working at developing them all since 1961. So naturally, some of them are becoming pretty strong. And you know something? I enjoy more life because they are becoming strong. And then share this information with others. You know, you can't put something out without it coming back. Action, reaction are equal and opposite. Make a decision right here, right now. Don't ask anybody. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Say, I will do this. Go to your computer, order the memory book. And then when it comes, do you want to remember numbers or do you want to remember names? I would suggest it's probably names. Then make up your mind you're going to remember names. And the next time you see me, come and shake my hand and tell me, say, you know, that idea that you put on that program, that has changed my whole life. I remember names better than anybody I know. You can do it. Mary?
The power of memory is just exactly what Bob said, that it gives you access to a greater understanding of yourself and your relationship with all others. One of the things I will say about Bob Proctor that I know to be true, long before we were friends, he remembered what mattered to me. He would ask me about things that he knew I thought were important. And when I would speak to him, he would say, how's this going or how's that going? And pull from his memory the things that I had shared with him in the past. Now, how did he do that? Exactly the way he's telling us today. Through ridiculous association, but mainly because he was interested. He was interested in showing that he cared about things that mattered to me. He had access to all of that. So do you, and you have access to a future self that already knows how to do everything you're wanting to bring forth in your life right now.
The gift of memory is one that we often take for granted or fear is beyond our ability to control. Yet as Bob and Mary have demonstrated in this session, not only can you strengthen and expand your memory, but in doing so, you can enable even more gifts to flow to and through you, enriching your life in remarkable ways. Please join us now in session 5, where Bob and Mary will introduce you to the next of your 6 gifts.